Please be seated. The second case for oral argument this morning is Roger and Dorothy Johnson, appellants versus Heyman and Associates, appellees. For the appellants, we have Mr. Kyle Weiss, an attorney from Rapid City, and for the appellees, we have Ms. Jessica Larson, an attorney also from Rapid City. Mr. Weiss, you may proceed, sir, and you have 20 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, the counsel. We are here today to discuss an engineering report that was completed by Heyman Engineering for Fannie Mae, the Federal National Mortgage Association. Fannie Mae had obtained a property through foreclosure and had decided to sell it to the public. This case involved a negligence claim brought by Roger and Dorothy Johnson against Heyman Engineering on the basis that Heyman Engineering failed to adequately discharge their duty. The lower court below decided that Heyman Engineering did not owe a duty to the Johnsons as subsequent purchasers because Heyman Engineering could not foresee that a subsequent purchaser would be harmed by their negligent work. We think the trial court erred for a number of reasons. One, we think that it was foreseeable to Heyman Engineering, who did a report, an engineering report, structural report, for Fannie Mae, with the knowledge that Fannie Mae was going to sell it to the public, that it would indeed only affect subsequent purchasers should that structural inspection and recommendations be made negligently. Two, we think the court below was in error in deciding that reliance was necessary in this type of a case regarding negligence by an engineer. The law in this area, as this court is well aware, is fairly well established at this point as to negligence and foreseeability of harm. Typically, a duty is created by statute or by common law. And in this case, we are talking about a duty created by common law. And in those cases, the question is whether or not it's foreseeable that if the defendant fails to adequately discharge a duty, that a third person, another party, would be foreseeably injured due to that defendant's failure to adequately discharge the duty.
If your client's protected because it's foreseeable, does that go on to infinity, or where do we stop?
Your Honor, I think in this case, it definitely goes on for at least the statute of limitations, and at most probably the statute of repose. I believe 15-2A-1 is the statute of repose for 10 years, which arguably would apply in this case to limit how long it
would be. So if the house is bought and sold, say, 20 times before the statute of limitations expires, every purchaser would be protected?
I would say up to 10 years, Your Honor. That is correct. That goes to the issue that was this court first took away the strictures of privity of contract as to professionals, especially particularly engineers, in the Midwest Electric versus DeWild, I believe, case, which is one of the main cases we cite and rely in making this argument that when an engineer provides some sort of advice, some sort of an opinion that is followed, that there no longer needs to be privity of contract between the party who was injured and the actual engineer or the contractor or whoever the professional might be. And in that Midwest Electric case, the court essentially said, we're doing away with the privity of contract. And they set the standard for what would be determinative in determining how to decide whether there'd be a duty. And what they said is that the legal concept of foreseeability of harm was what would be used going forward. And so we have a number of cases that discuss the foreseeability of harm issue. I'd like to discuss a couple with the court. For example, there is a case of Limpert versus Bale. Now, that involved a veterinarian case where a seller and buyer decided that they needed to get a vet to do some sort of test on the cattle before the sale would go forward. Now, the court cited the same language, similar to the Midwestern Electric case regarding foreseeability of harm. A vet's definitely a professional. And what the court essentially said was that look, that vet could be liable not only to the person that he had a contract with, but also to another party who was injured. Now, admittedly, in that case, the vet knew who that purchaser was. It was identified, I believe it was Bale, if I get my parties correct. But that vet knew who that purchaser was. But I don't think that would have foreclosed liability. Because what the court decided in that case, in the language that they used, was essentially that when a professional undertakes a duty and a blameless person is injured because that professional fails to adequately discharge that duty, the question is whether another party would be foreseeably injured. And in that case, essentially, that vet knew that anybody who's looking to purchase those cattle would have been injured had he not discharged his duty.
Is your client blameless? Would you categorize your client as blameless in this case?
I think as to the damages caused by Heyman Engineering, I do believe we are blameless, yes. At the time Heyman Engineering completed the report, it was in 2009. To give a timeline, in 2009, Heyman Engineering does a report for Fannie Mae. Fannie Mae has testified that they got the report because they wanted to make sure the property was safe. They wanted to make sure the property was livable. They wanted to make sure that prospective purchasers wouldn't have any problems with the property. They get this structural engineering report. They do, in fact, make some of the recommendations. They have some of the recommendations that are cited by Heyman. They have a French drain installed. Kathy Bricky, who was the agent for Fannie Mae, has testified that she thought that they had done everything they needed to do to make the house livable, saleable, safe, and they then sold it to Masons. Ronald and Don Mason was the first sale, I believe, and the closing was, I believe, October 5th of 2009. Approximately 2 years later, in May of 2012, is when my clients, Roger and Dorothy Johnson, purchased the property. So as to the Heyman Engineering report and their negligence in completing the inspection, their negligence in making recommendations, their negligence in designing the types of fixes that would be needed, the French drain, I do not think that Roger and Dorothy Johnson have any blame attributed to that negligence.
I recall, and I can't remember the record specifically, but did they have an inspection done when they purchased the property?
Roger and Dorothy Johnson, my clients, did have an inspection done prior to buying the property, yes, Your Honor.
So is that an intervening cause?
I don't think so, especially not as to a professional engineer doing a report on a home and providing recommendations. I would not expect or think it would be an intervening cause that a general home inspector who's not a professional engineer would find engineering defects or be responsible for damages caused by a French drain that was installed upon the recommendation of an engineer. So I don't think it's an intervening cause as such that cuts off liability for Heyman. Whether they also have some liability in this case, I appreciate that, and there might be. But in this case, as we've sued Heyman Engineering, and that is who we are looking at for ultimately having responsibility for not only not disclosing and not identifying the problem, because as Kathy Bricky testified, Fannie Mae would not have put this property into the public stream for sale but for that report. But more fundamentally, as is indicated in our expert report, which is attached to our complaint in the record, and I think it's probably also attached to some other affidavits in the record, the French drain was installed upon the recommendation of Heyman Engineering. And our expert has testified that a French drain in these types of soils, in fact, likely exacerbated the problem. So it's not just that there is that there was some opinion given or some inspection done. There was actions that were taken based on that report by Fannie Mae that caused additional damages to this property. And I think those damages occurred clearly to the Masons as well, but now that my clients own the property, I think that the damages definitely run to them, and they would have a direct cause of action against the engineer.
So did the Masons buy this at a foreclosure sale from Fannie Mae?
Yes, they did, Your Honor.
And did they have the Heyman Engineering report?
The record will reflect that Kathy Bricky has testified that she provided the Hayman report to the Masons agent, Susan Raposa. That's all that's in this record, Your Honor, is that it was provided to their agent.
And so then your client bought it from the Masons on an as-is? I mean, they negotiated based on the drainage problems, a lower price, and then purchased the property from the Masons as is?
No, Your Honor. The Masons purchased the property from Fannie Mae as is. My clients did not purchase it as is from the Masons. And so when we're looking at whether a subsequent purchaser should have a cause of action against an engineer, a professional engineer in this case, I think the case of Brown versus Fowler is very instructional. I know it's an older case, but in that case, the topic of discussion in the holding was essentially that a subsequent purchaser could bring a negligence lawsuit against a contractor who had originally built the home, but also had subsequently tried to correct structural defects in the property. There are a lot of parallels, I believe, to that case in this case. We have Hayman Engineering providing recommendations that were followed by Fannie Mae in installing a French drain, for example. We have our expert who has now said that installation of the French drain likely exacerbated the damage, caused an independent harm to the property by allowing more water to seep in. Under those facts, Hayman Engineering, who would have known, because they had worked with Fannie Mae before, that Fannie Mae is not in the business of owning properties. They're not in the business of staying there and developing them. They're in the process of lending money so that people can buy homes. And when they foreclose on a home, it's known that they're looking to sell the property. So with that knowledge that they're providing recommendations to Fannie Mae, who is going to sell this property to the public, just as in Brown versus Fowler, where a contractor is building a home, it's very well known, I think it goes without saying, that subsequent purchasers are the only parties that are going to be injured should that professional, whether it's a contractor or an engineer, cause further damage to the property or fail to correct a defect.
All right. You noted several times in your issue statement and argument that this is sold to the public. Is there any significance to the public? Almost all real estate is sold to somebody in the general public. So what's the significance of that language?
That point's well taken, Your Honor, and I thought more about that. And I think what it goes to is that I think if this was a typical residential real property sale without Fannie Mae, we have the same result. So I agree with you in that, you know, every sale is to the public. And if an engineer is doing a report for somebody that owns a residential or commercial property, knowing that it's probably going to be sold to a subsequent purchaser, just like the case of Brown versus Fowler, that it's just as likely, and in fact it's foreseeable in those situations, that the only other parties to be harmed are going to be subsequent purchasers. So the reason I point out Fannie Mae is because I think that would point to even more knowledge on behalf of an engineer that, oh, I'm doing property for Fannie Mae. They're clearly looking to make this house saleable.
The result would be we would be extending, in this case, engineer, but potentially many other professions or workmen or contractors, their liability out to the statute of limitations in most cases?
I don't think we're really expanding too much liability for engineers. You know, a case that we could look at is also Luther versus the City of Winter, which was not cited in the brief but came to my mind later, is that in that case, the pedestrian sued both an engineer that designed the sidewalk and the city it was a personal injury in that case, but nonetheless, it was a direct cause of action against an engineer who designed a sidewalk which caused injury to a person. In this case, there's not much different. Every person has a standard of care that they must obtain. I mean, that's found in our statutes, SDCL 29.1. Every person should not harm another person's property or rights of another for want of ordinary care. I think what we're saying here is that applies to an engineer when they provide, at their heightened duty, some sort of advice as to a property. And that advice is followed or changes are made, You know, just like the contractor in Brown versus Fowler, you know, he might have been the one pounding the nail at that case, and, you know, and that's why it's very clear that he was the one doing the work to try to fix the structural defect. In this case, it's no different. An engineer was directing somebody, you need to install a French drain. And the French drain was installed, and that caused additional problems with the home. That's what our expert has now said in his opinion, and that's undisputed at this point.
And so Drew Inspection was hired by your client to do an inspection of the residence, and problems were discovered, and your client negotiated a lower sale price as a result of the problems.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And so your view is that, nevertheless, they had a right to rely on the alleged errors made by Heyman in the report given to Fannie Mae?
Ultimately, Your Honor, we're saying that we have a cause of action against Heyman Engineering because they caused harm to our property. When they gave the advice and recommendations, they completed their work and said, install a French drain. They, according to our expert, caused harm to that property, the property we now own. We're saying that that harm, we should be able to bring a lawsuit directly against that engineer for causing harm to our property. That's under the statute. That should be under the common law. And I think that goes to foreseeability of injury. An engineer cannot operate with impunity. If they do something that harms another person or property, I would think that there would be a cause of action, just like there would be in the Luther case, although it was dismissed because they didn't have an expert in that case. We have an expert here, but I don't see a distinction as to why we wouldn't be able to bring a cause of action directly against an engineer for causing damage. And if we look at the policy considerations in the case of Brown versus Fowler, what the court essentially said was, look, we're going to look at whether or not the extent that it was anticipated or expected, what type of plaintiff would be injured, the foreseeability of harm to the plaintiff, or whether he's a class of members, a member of a class of who could be injured, the nexus between the harm and the conduct, and most importantly, whether we want to make sure we stop the chance of future harm. You know, and that's a significant part of this case, just like it was in the Brown versus Fowler case. We do not want people dealing with structures like contractors in Brown versus Fowler to be able to operate negligently and not for anybody and for no one to have any recourse against them when it's clear that the only parties that are going to be injured in those cases, just like my client is here, the French drain that was installed upon their recommendation, relied on it or not, it caused damage. That's their negligence caused damage. Duty breach caused damage. And our expert has linked all of those together, but the trial court decided that they did not have a duty because it wasn't foreseeable that we would be injured. And I'd like to point out, too, quickly, the trial court relied heavily on the as-is clause in the contract between Fannie Mae and the Masons. I did not see any authority cited, and I'm not aware of any authority that would say that when there's an as-is clause between a buyer and a seller, that has any bearing whatsoever on a professional's duty to do their job non-negligently. That as-is clause is strictly between those parties regarding that property and that particular sale. It doesn't foreclose the responsibility of an engineer or other professional to do their job non-negligently. And I think that's an important part of this case. And especially...
One of the things I think that is the Heyman engineer would argue is that that report was done for Fannie Mae only, not for any other purpose. And so that kind of goes to your foreseeability argument. And so is there evidence in the record that Heyman understood that this report was going to be given to future purchasers?
Your Honor, that goes to the negligent misrepresentation case, I believe. Whether we relied on that or not is not an element of negligence. And I guess that's a fine distinction I'm trying to make, is that even if we didn't rely on it directly, they caused work to be done on the property that physically harmed the property. We don't need to rely on the actual advice given to realize that harm or have it damage us. And I guess maybe that's not answering your question.
Well, I don't know that it is. I don't know that I was talking about the Johnsons didn't have the report. They didn't even know that report existed, right?
We did not know the report existed.
When they purchased the home.
That is correct, Your Honor. And I think that goes, I guess the answer to my thoughts on that is that it goes to the negligent misrepresentation case. You know, just because we don't get the report and rely on whether or not, you know, certain things are the way they are, I don't think that affects the negligence case when you cause damage to a property. And I guess that's a distinction that I'm not getting right, but that's how I see it in my mind, is that, you know, relying on the report is one thing versus being damaged by the report is another.
But when there is in your negligence claim and there's no contract and there's no privity of contract, it must be foreseeable to Haman that their actions will affect others, right?
That's correct, and I guess...
So what in the record shows that they were aware that their actions would affect subsequent purchasers?
I have the response, Your Honor, and I know I'm out of time, Your Honor, but...
Go ahead and answer it.
I think the response would be, we look at the Brown versus Fowler case. You know, when you're making fixes or recommending fixes that are made to a residential real property, the idea that this is a residential real property, that Fannie Mae was going to sell the property and that Haman Engineering knew that Fannie Mae owned it, knows that it was going to end up in subsequent purchasers' hands, and that their recommendations, although maybe not relied on, could damage parties. And my last note would be that there's no evidence in the record that Haman Engineering actually knew of the as-is sale. So for them to say that cuts off their liability, I question that. But thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, counsel. All right. Ms. Larson, you have 20 minutes, unless you're lucky enough to get a question at the end, and then you get another minute, I guess. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chief Justice. May it please the court, counsel. I'm here today representing Haman Residential Engineering Services. And as you've heard, Haman Engineering was hired by Fannie Mae for a very limited purpose. They were hired to conduct a visual inspection of property to check the cracks in the home. This was a home that had many problems, and Haman was just called in to take a look at the cracks and see what could be done to prevent further cracking. There are three main undisputed facts here that support the circuit court's decision to find that it was not foreseeable that the letter report that was written by Haman Engineering in 2009 could cause damage to a subsequent purchaser in 2012. And because it was not foreseeable, therefore, Haman Engineering had no duty to the Johnsons in this case. The first fact that is undisputed is, like I said, the very limited scope of the visual inspection resulted in a letter report that contained a qualified opinion that the cause of the uplifting in the foundation was most likely expansive soil under the foundation, and that the key to minimizing further movement in the footing if caused by expansive soil was to keep water from collecting there. Haman Engineering then provided some ways to prevent water from collecting under the foundation. They did not design any or have any say in what was done to the home after this. All that they did was provided some suggestions, including ensuring that the downspouts and the grading slope away from the foundation, and to install an active French drain system connected to a sump pump to remove the water from the area. Why this is important is because many of the problems identified in the Haman report were not fixed, and many of the recommendations in the Haman report were not followed. So what we have here is a case where Haman Engineering is being sued for a report containing recommendations where those recommendations were not then followed by Fannie Mae.
What is that? Well, three of us jumped on that one. What does that have to do with duty?
It definitely has something to do with duty in this case, because they're being sued for recommending certain things that were never followed, and then the Johnsons are then claiming that those recommendations caused them damage.
But he said what I heard the appellant say was that the French drain is the problem, and that was Haman's recommendation, and that was done, and that damaged the property and therefore caused the injury.
The evidence shows that Heyman Engineering recommended certain things, and within those recommendations was a French drain surrounding the property connected to a sump pump. The French drain that was called for was not the system that was installed. No exterior drain system was installed along the entire foundation of the home, and no sump pump was ever installed. And so to have these recommendations that were not followed be the basis for a claim for damages, it is not foreseeable that Heyman Engineering could write this letter with the qualified opinion, which gave recommendations that were not followed, that could then somehow cause damages to the subsequent purchaser 3 years later. In addition to the letter, the qualified letter opinion, the second fact that demonstrates that there was no foreseeability in this case is that the only testimony about this letter came from Kathy Bricky, and she said that Fannie Mae did not authorize the letter report, for the purpose of providing it to prospective buyers. So Heyman Engineering knew that it was only going in for the limited scope to provide a letter to Fannie Mae, and that that report would not be provided to prospective buyers for the purpose of inducing a sale. The Masons then purchased the property pursuant to an agreement, and the agreement that the Masons purchased the property, according to, is very important in this case. And that agreement is attached as Appendix C to my brief, and it contains in bold capital writing that the property was being purchased as is with no warranties, either express or implied, with respect to the physical condition of the property. And that included no warranties for structural integrity, no warranties for the stability of the soil, no warranties for the sufficiency of drainage, or any other matter affecting the stability, integrity, or condition of the property or improvements. Now, there's no evidence that the Masons ever knew about the Heyman Engineering report. The Fannie Mae realtor did testify that she may have told the Masons realtor about the report during the walkthrough just prior to closing. However, the Masons realtor told Kathy Bricky that she couldn't recall being told about the problems with the house. And so whether or not they were told is not an issue. However, what the Masons knew is they were getting a property that was being sold as is with no warranties regarding structural integrity. And so Heyman Engineering could not foresee that the qualified opinion that it had provided to Fannie Mae that was not authorized to be given to prospective buyers could then cause damage in a sale where the Masons were purchasing the home with full knowledge the purchase was as is with no warranties. Further, as we get down the line of facts in this case, the Johnsons do not dispute that they never saw the letter drafted by Heyman Engineering prior to the purchase. They didn't even know the letter existed or that Heyman Engineering had gone to the property to conduct the visual inspection until October 4th, 2012, which is approximately 4 months after they had purchased the property. This undisputed fact shows that the Johnsons had no knowledge and therefore did not rely on the Heyman letter. Now, reliance comes in to this question both under the foreseeability prong and also under the negligent misrepresentation claim. Under the foreseeability question, this court has stated in the Fisher Sand and Gravel that the policy concerns expressed to allow claims absent privity of contract is to protect innocent third parties who relied on the actions of others. And so in this case, we don't have privity of contract. That's not a question. The question is whether it was foreseeable that Heyman Engineering had a duty to the Johnsons in this case. And the court has held that that foreseeability, that extension of the law beyond privity of contract, is to protect innocent third parties who rely on the actions of others. In this case, it is clear that although the Johnsons relied on many people when purchasing this property, they did not rely on anything or any actions of Heyman Engineering. They did rely on a property disclosure statement filled out by the Masons, which did not include any of the any disclosures regarding the property that are being sought for damages in this case. They mentioned some cracks in the driveway and some cracks in the garage, but they did not list the number of large cracks throughout the house that had been repaired or areas where water leaked into the garage area of the home. In addition to the Mason statements in the seller's property condition disclosure statement, they relied on the home inspection. The Johnsons had entered into the purchase agreement with the Masons, and it was contingent upon obtaining an inspection of the physical condition of the property. Now, this contingency contained a provision that if the inspection revealed conditions unsatisfactory to the Johnsons, they had multiple options, including deeming the purchase agreement null and void in its entirety. And I believe, Justice Wilbur, you discussed whether or not the Johnsons were blameless in this case. And I would put forth to you that they are not, because they have received a lot of information about this property from the Masons, from their own observations of the property, and from the home inspector, who revealed significant settling and cracking in the driveway in front of the garage, a negative slope of the driveway causing pooling and runoff towards the house, several major cracks in the garage ceiling, cracks in the garage's sheetrock, cracks along the joints of the house's interior wall and ceiling, and the inspection also showed photos of steel support beams, columns in the basement that had placed in the crawl space to provide support to the home. So after the Johnsons received all of this information and had actual knowledge that there were structural problems with this property, they negotiated a price reduction with the Masons and purchased the property with all of this knowledge. In addition, the realtors on the property had an engineer come out and take a look at the garage and the sloping of the garage and gave some opinions on drainage and rerouting of water for the garage. And so this demonstrates that the Johnsons had ample knowledge that there was a problem, a structural integrity problem with the home. The Johnsons don't dispute any of these facts. They simply are seeking to go far down the line to an engineering company who submitted a qualified opinion in a letter report based on a very limited scope visual inspection of a property that the most likely cause of the problems with the home was expansive soil. This report, again, was not, did not include any geotechnical observations. There was no soil samples taken. That was not within the scope of what Hayman Engineering was hired for. The report was not to be made public, was not to be used for sale. And so for all of these reasons, it was not foreseeable to Hayman Engineering that anything that they did would be the cause of any damage to any subsequent purchaser. One large difference between the engineering firm in Midwestern Electric versus DeWild, as Mr. Reese noted, is that in cases where there's absent privity of contract, cause of action for economic damages may follow from professional negligence when the advice is followed and resulting damages occur. In this case, as we've gone through, the advice of Hayman Engineering was qualified, and it was not followed by Fannie Mae. They did not go through the list of recommendations, and therefore, any damages that were caused to the property were not related to the advice of Hayman Engineering.
Okay, isn't that a separate problem? Or isn't that a separate issue on causation and not on duty?
I believe that it applies to duty because the case law suggests that where a professional's recommendation and advice is followed and it is foreseeable from that advice and recommendation that damages may be caused to a blameless third party, that the engineer would then be liable for those damages. And in this case, there was no follow through with that advice. And so certainly, I do not believe that there was any foreseeability based on that letter report in the first place, but certainly since the recommendations in that report were not followed, Heyman could not foresee that damages could happen to a subsequent purchaser when Heyman was not involved in any other aspect. They were not hired to design any repairs. They were not hired to inspect repairs after they were made. They did not come back onto that property and see that anything was properly fixed. And so all we have here is a conditional statement that the most likely cause was expansive soils. And I do not believe that any engineer would foresee, based on that very limited scope of what they were hired to do, that purchasers down the line through a foreclosure sale, after subsequent purchasers have home inspections and hire an engineer to come and look at the property, have a chance to negotiate with their purchasers a price reduction based on the structural deficiencies in the property, that then that engineer could be held liable for the so far removed subsequent purchaser. If the court has no further questions, I would ask that the circuit court's decision granting summary judgment in Heyman Engineering's favor be upheld.
Thank you, Ms. Larson. At least you have 10 minutes for rebuttal, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. I think it's important, very important to know that the recommendations that were made in the Heyman report, our engineer has said that they weren't accurate. So to stand up here and I think and say that we didn't follow the recommendations and therefore they couldn't foresee the damage, I think that's the wrong way to analyze it. I think no matter what would have happened, our engineer has said that the underpinnings, the assumptions made by Heyman Engineering and its opinions and its recommendations were substandard. So follow them or not, we would have been injured. I think that's very important in this case. The sub pump was not installed, but the French drain was installed upon the advice of Heyman Engineering, and that has caused damage to the real property that my clients now own. And although the Heyman Engineering argues that there was no geotechnical inspection, that was also negligence. To provide an opinion about expansive soils without hiring a geotechnical engineer, arguably, is negligence itself, which further caused damage because the recommendations made were inappropriate. Recommendations that, when installed, caused damage to the real property. So I think that's very important to understand, and I know it's in a footnote in my brief, but to say that all of the recommendations weren't followed and that is what changed foreseeability, I don't think is the right analysis. The fact that the entire report was on false assumptions and negligent assumptions and recommendations that would not have fixed the problem, that's the issue here. That's what causes foreseeability. If you don't do your job right, if you don't adequately discharge your duty to do an engineering report and make adequate recommendations that meet the standard of care, and that causes damage to another person, like or property in this case, that gives a cause of action for negligence, regardless of reliance. Somebody has provided an advice that caused damage, or somebody has provided a recommendation that was followed that caused damage, or if it wouldn't have been followed. I think what really matters here is when we're looking at foreseeability of harm and trying to determine a duty, we have to look whether it'd be reasonable to find that it'd be foreseeable for an engineer to know that injury would be caused to a subsequent purchaser.
Right, so we have a limited scope for the Heyman report. Can you speak to that? I mean, can an engineer or an expert limit the scope of their opinion? Here we have a visual inspection to look at structural defects and cracks, a visual inspection, and then a limited scope. Is that appropriate? Can an expert limit the scope of their opinion?
I would say yes, an expert could limit the scope of their opinion. But in this opinion, it specifically says the key to minimizing movement is to stop water intrusion. I recommend installing a French drain. And that's what happened. A French drain was installed. Our expert has said the French drain exacerbated the problem. You know, limited scope or not, it wasn't limited when he said the key to stopping movement is this. So I think you can limit it. Whether this was a limited opinion that somehow forecloses foreseeability of harm, I disagree. I think that when the report was done, and I think that's when this needs to be analyzed from, is when Heyman did their visual inspection or structural report. That's at the time that we look for foreseeability of harm.
Changing direction a bit, once your client, and I guess maybe I asked on the inspection report, but once your client knew there were some problems, didn't they then, the duty then to assure, I guess I'm getting to buyer beware. They knew there was a problem. They bought the property anyway at a reduced price.
I'd say yes. I don't know if this is in the record, Your Honor, but I'll speak to it just briefly. There was a reduction in price based on the inspection that was done and some ceiling, some roof tiles that had been damaged. But I would never have expected. I don't think anybody would expect our inspector to find that there was water intrusion being caused by the French drain. I know that was exacerbating the problem. I don't think our inspector would have looked at that issue or known enough to look at or known professionally whether that was causing damage to the property to put us on notice. We did notice some cracks in the driveway, which were repaired by the masons. And we did have, as the record reflects, an engineer come out to look at the driveway and garage because that is where the repair had been made and that's where we were put on notice that there was problems, which is why we had the engineer come out and look at those parts of the property. But the cracks in the interior of the home were not significant at the time of the inspection done by the inspector, which is why we did not have the engineer come look in the inside of the property. So,
are you suing those inspectors and engineers?
That's not a record, Your Honor, but yes. That is another aspect of this, but I think that goes to cause. You know, there can be more than one proximate cause of the damages in this case. I think there are. But I know one because my expert has told me that the French drain that was installed upon the recommendation of Heyman Engineering exacerbated the property damage.
The French drain wasn't... That was known to your client, right? That existed and was there?
Definitely. My clients said that is what they noticed the French drain was on the property, and they thought it was working to move water away from the house.
Okay, this is a dumb question, but what is a French drain?
Well, my understanding, Your Honor, is it's typically you put some sort of, you dig down the ground and put some sort of rock on the bottom and slope it away from the house, and it helps to collect and move out water or move it towards a certain location. It's the best I can do, Your Honor. But that's how I understand it. And in this case, our engineer, I think it's in his report, I believe on page 2, he says that, French drains in these areas, as, at the 4112 Augusta property, in fact, are not recommended because they allow water to further seep into the ground. So that recommendation, and really what that amounted to by Heyman was a negligent design of a recommendation. And, to say at all that he recommends a French drain was negligence, and then it was installed. So, the policy of preventing future harm, which was the key to the Brown versus Fowler decision, is just as applicable in this case. We have the same industry. We have the housing industry, where we have a contractor in Brown. Now we have an engineer who's directing the contractor, for example. I don't see a significant difference between those two that would end up in a different result. I think under both cases, we have the harm being caused to the purchaser. The only people that will be injured are, of course, the person who currently owns it. But, of course, any subsequent purchaser would be just as likely to be injured as anybody else. There seems to be a bit of a, you know, this was a report done by Haman and given to Fannie Mae. We readily admit that we did not have that report. We didn't rely on the terms of the report to find what the problems were. Nonetheless, there's a duty to adequately discharge your duty and not injure other people. When you fail, when you make recommendations that are negligent, you don't adequately discharge that duty, and you damage property, like they did here, there's a direct cause of action for negligence.
Okay. Did you bring a cause of action for negligent misrepresentation?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor.
Okay, so this is a straight negligence claim based on what that recommendation was and that caused the damage.
Our complaint, I believe, if you go back and look at it, towards the end of maybe paragraphs 45 through 55, if I recall, it's towards the end, of course, when we allege our cause of action, it's professional negligence. And we itemize all of the things that we found that our expert told us were negligent. Whether it's the, you know, one was recommending the installation of the French drain. That was negligent. That caused damage. The other one was failing to disclose, failing to identify the problems. Then, you know, I admit you get closer for failing to identify issues. You get towards the reliance issue. But when you get down towards the negligent design or recommendation of a French drain, that's physical property damage that was caused. No need for reliance on that for sure. So I think that distinguishes it from a lot of the other cases. So, Your Honors, we would respectfully ask that the trial court be reversed, that our cause of action for professional negligence be allowed to go against Haman Engineering for damages they caused by their negligence in failing to adequately discharge their duty. We think that is the best public policy for the state and is consistent with the prior holdings of the court, especially in Brown versus Fowler. Thank you,
Mr. Weiss. The court will be in recess for 10 minutes.